This is All Things Considered on VPR. I'm Alex Keefe. In a moment, we'll get recommendations from our art hounds, but now it's time for our weekly conversation on the arts with Mary Williams.
I'm joined now in the VPR studio with a Vermont-born poet who's here to talk about his latest book of poetry called Homage to the Lady with Dirty Feet and Other Vermont Poems. Stanford Searle is here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm really delighted to be back in Vermont. Yesterday, I traveled around Ludlow. I was looking at the Black River and just orienting myself again to where I grew up. So that's really nice.
And this new book is based on your childhood growing up in Ludlow at 100 Main Street. Talk about the origins for the book, because I understand it's got something to do with Greek mythology.
The book's origin came when I was reading a friend of mine's book called Greek Dialogues about Greek mythology, and I came to a wonderful section about memory. Somehow, I became under the power of mnemosyne to be a poet.
Quick Greek mythology lesson here. Mnemosyne is Zeus's third wife and the mother of the nine muses.
So the book is really guided by Greek mythology in the sense that it allowed me to be open to my unconscious and to dreams and musing.
So you had taught poetry before in your life as a scholar, and you've written other books of poetry, but not quite in the same manner.
You know, I had taught other people's poetry, like the great African-American poet Lucille Clifton or Stanley Kunitz, but I always thought that somebody else was a poet. But once I started writing these poems, I realized that it was so integrated for me. It was the head and the heart and the spirit all kind of integrated, coming together. I knew that the poems on the page were potentially music.
So this book of poetry is inspired by your childhood in the 1950s in Ludlow. You're raised by paternal grandparents, and a very prominent figure in these poems is your grandmother, Daisy Searle, or Nana, as you called her. She was this tough, hardworking woman.
So my grandmother was one of 13. There were nine girls. Let me read a poem about that first, called South Hill Girls.
And just a quick heads up before you begin, some of the terms and phrases in this poem are colorful, and some of our audience may find them offensive.
Growing up, I must have heard this hundreds of times, as my grandfather said to his wife, "Dickie, would you come over here, please, Dickie?" Okay, I thought nothing about it. After all, I thought, it's a term of endearment, and what could be better than that? So I assumed that it was some special nickname, until maybe in my teens I heard some of the story for the first time. My grandmother was in the middle of 13 children on that Vermont Side Hill dairy farm that sat on the top of a plateau flowing down to Smithville to the east, a dairy farm of 100 hilly acres falling off steeply down the side of the mountain to Route 103. Frankly, at first, it shocked me to learn the simplest thing about my grandmother's eight sisters. Every single one of the nine girls had boys' names, insisted upon by their father because he was goddamn Vermont determined to have these girls do the jobs of boys, and that my grandmother's name was Dick. She talked about it once, saying Pa would call her, "Dick, harness up the horse and go down to the village." Looking back, this meant that my grandmother's sisters insisted upon being themselves, meaning sharing boys' names, asserting themselves, determined to, as my grandmother said it over and again, to have their own way and have everybody hate them. Ironically, nobody seemed to give a shit because these Godfrey women had the one thing that is the most important American value. They worked hard. These women with the boys' names could care less that the goddamn husband sat around on their fat asses because these Godfrey women got up early, did the work, pushed their husbands out of bed, thrusting themselves into the housework and whatever other work, determined to pull another weed, bake more beans, and do what needed to be done. With her mind totally blown, I recall my grandmother at the nursing home hallucinating in an insistent and ringing, if confused, voice, mumbling fragmentary words about cleaning and weeding, repeating over and over again, "Oh, that energy deal, the energy deal." So that's the sisters. And they were amazing. I mean, it's like their whole lives were working or something, but something very physical, you know, and sensual. It's almost like a conceptual thing about it. It's all, everything was embodied, you know, it's all about the body and its meanings. Mm. I think the poems reflect that. I mean, many different poems have that kind of motif or theme in them.
So what did you learn from this this way of writing. You're not relying strictly on memory, but you're, you know, being more open to imagination.
I think that what I learned, at least, was that memory and imagination were deeply connected up and offered me access both into the unconscious and into the past. It was a metaphor for, like, talking about these important women in my life, because it's my grandmother and her sisters who seem to be conduits for this memory, but also for inspiration.
Well, thank you so much for sharing these poems with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so delighted. It was just a pleasure.
That's Vermont poet Stanford Searle. He'll be reading in Bennington on Saturday, and you can find out more details about his new book at vpr.net.